Morning. Today's daf in Menachos Yutes. We are on Yud Ches Amud Beis. We are starting with the words. We're starting at the two dots. Sorry. We are talking about the Mincha. We have left the world of Pigel, and the Mishnah on the bottom, Yud Ches Amud Aleph, talks about other details within a Mincha, standard Mincha. The Mishnah taught us on Yud Ches Amud Aleph that the Yitzika and the Belila and the Pesisa and the Malicha and the Hanafa and the Hagasha are all important. They're all mitzvahs, but they're not essential. These are activities regarding a mincha that are not essential. And I skipped a portion of the Mishnah, which we're going to be focusing on right now. And if you remember yesterday's daf, what we learned together is that yitzika is the pouring of the oil. We identified yesterday that in this particular Mishnah, when we talk about yitzika, we're talking about the yitzika achrona. In other words, first you would put shemen in the kli. And then you would put flour and oil together. And then you put flour in. Then you put oil in. And then you mix it together. And then afterwards, you put a second yitzika on. This is what's referred to as yitzika achrona. That's what the Mishnah is referring to when talking about yitzika. Belila obviously is the mixing of them together. Psisa is breaking them into parts. Certain various menachos require that we break them into part. Malicha is the salting. Hanafa is the taking of the mincha and putting it next to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Sorry. Hanafa is the waving. Hagasha is taking and putting it next to the southwest corner of the mizbeach. Or if you break it into pieces. All these are mitzvos regarding a mincha, but they're not essential. If any of these are not done, there would be kasher. Now, if any of these were not done, they're going to be kasher. So let's just go over what we said yesterday. Yitzika belila, what does that mean? It's not done. Of course, you have to pour in the oil. So by yitzika, we said the pshat in the Mishnah by yitzika is that, of course, the yitzika is done, but it's not done by a kohen. And what we learned yesterday is that yitzika doesn't have to be done by a kohen. Good. What about belila? Belila doesn't have to be done all together. You don't have to mix the flour and oil together. What do you mean you don't have to? The Torah keeps repeating how it has to be mixed together. Yes, that's true, but it has to be roi lebila. As long as it's roi lebila, as long as you can mix it together, the ratio of flour and oil such that it can blend together, so that would be fine. But if it's not a ratio that can blend together, that's unacceptable, but it doesn't have to be mixed together. It simply has to be roi lebila, and that brought us to the famous statement of Rabbi Zeri yesterday, of kol haroi lebila, as long as it's eligible to be mixed together, so that's fine. So the truth of the matter is, we learned yesterday's daf, that even when, as we're talking about the Mishnah, even as the Mishnah is grouping together all these different activities, they're not exactly the same with one another. We're focusing on one point in the Mishnah right now, which is shepasasan pisim merubos. You broke them into what we think right now means pieces, but merubos seemingly means many pieces. And the Gemara now discusses this very point. O shepasasan pisim merubos kshera. Hashal apasas klal kshera pisim merubos mibaye. So the Gemara says, now you don't even have to break them at all. Meaning, again, it's a mitzvah, but it's not essential. It's not ma'akev. And so over here, a piece of merubos, if you broke it into too many pieces, so you would have entertained a thought that it shouldn't be fine. So my pisim merubos shiriba bipsisim. So the Gemara says you broke it up into too many pieces. Now yesterday in the daf we pointed out that there is a clear instructions. We're going to learn later on in the Torah Shabbat Peh in terms of how it is to be broken up. It's to be folded over again, broken up into four pieces. And now what the Gemara is understanding the Mishnah to mean is that you did break it up, you broke it up into too many pieces. Or the Gemara says, no. Or maybe over here, it means like we originally thought. And the Gemara says, look, here's the Havamina. Havamina would have been like this. If I didn't break it up at all, so at least we have a stat. We have a mincha that fits that bill. It's called the challah. Fine. And if I broke it up into the required amount, so then we have what's called pesisim. But if I break it up too much, so then it's not here, not there. In other words, it doesn't fit into any known mincha category that we're familiar with. And therefore, as a havamina, one would have thought that it should be no good altogether. And that's what we're coming to learn together in our Mishnah. That even though you broke it up into too many pieces, nevertheless, it's going to be acceptable. Okay, and so what do we have right now in our Mishnah? We have this idea in our Mishnah that all the activities described in the Mishnah, Yitzika, Belila, Pesisa, Malicha, Hanafa, Hagasha, so all these activities are non-essential activities, but again, as we formulated yesterday, they're not exactly the same in terms of what's not essential, but the idea of the Mishnah is that they're not essential, and that means, as we described yesterday, Yitzika, meaning it doesn't have to be by Kohen. So yitzika could be done by non-Kohanim. They'll go into the Azara, and they'll pour the oil in. Seemingly, our Mishnah's not going like Rabbi Shimon. That's Gemara's point right now. Lema masisim delok Rabbi Shimon. Ditanya, the Gemara is now going to treat us to the following braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer. Kol kohen she'ena mod de'avodah. If you have, let's say, a Kohen who is hashkafically challenged. He'll do the mitzvot, but in terms of who assigned us to do the mitzvot or what the purpose of the mitzvot are, so he's got some hashkafic issues. So ein lo chelik b'kuhuna. So such a kohen is not going to get a portion of the kuhuna. He's not going to get an apparatus. He's not going to get any allocation. Shenemar hamakrif es dam hashlamim v'esachelav mimnei aron lo siyasho chayimin lamana. So mod ba'avodah yesh lo chelik b'kuhuna. Shenem mod ba'avodah ein lo chelik b'kuhuna. So you have to be mod ba'avodah. You have to understand that you're doing the avodah as a mitzvah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you have any of these hashkafic issues, so you're not going to get an allocation. Now, not only are you going to be banned from getting an allocation, receiving a portion of Matnas Kahuna, but on top of that, you can also participate in the Avodah as well. 15 Avodahs that we're going to highlight over here. Now, it's really interesting. If we were to list the number of Avodahs, probably we come out to a number that's greater than 15, probably. And so the Rishonim over here try to understand why this particular list is given to us. Also, what would be of note of interest is that it's not given in any kind of particular order, okay? But our purposes right now, we could spend a lot of time going over the list. Our purposes right now, first of all, I think the number 15 is significant. That's why I think the Bryce over here is dealing with 15. Notably, also, you have to keep in mind that this is a list given to Rabbi Shimon, right? Tosus already here points out, like, you're not going to find halacha on the list. Because if you go back to Zvachim and you remember what we learned a long time ago, according to Rabbi Shimon, halacha is not an avoda. Okay. Anyway, the only thing we want to zoom in on this brisa, is the fact that these are things that are done by Kohen, and if the Kohen is hashkafically challenged, so he can't participate in these avodas, and in the list we're going to find, number one on the list is going to be Yitzika. Now, we learned in yesterday's daf, in the Mishnah, Yitzika doesn't have to be done by Kohen, hence the problem. The Gemara is going to try to give an answer, but I'm going to spoil it. It's going to be that our Mishnah is not going to fall like Rabbi Shimon. That's going to be the easiest way to explain it. In fact, that's how the Gemara is going to conclude. The list includes Yitzika, pouring of the oil, Belila, mixing of the oil and the flour, Pesisa, breaking up the Mincha into pieces, Malicha, salting, Tenufa, waving, Hagasha, bringing the Mincha over to the Mizbech, Kemitza, the fistful that's taken off by the Kohen, Haktara, the burning of the comets, Malika, that's the shechting of the bird, Kabbalah, the receiving of the blood after you shecht an animal, Hazar, sprinkling of the blood, Hashkar Sota, having a Sota drink, Arifas Egla, the breaking of the neck of the Egla Rufa, Taharas Mitzora, purification of the Mitzora, Nisiyas Kapayim, Mebifnim, Mebichutz, count this as one, Duchening for the Kohen, both in and outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, and that counts as one, and that's how you get to the number 15. Okay, Minayin. So how do I know? So how do I know that if a Kohen is not Modeh Ba'avoda, so that he cannot participate in any of these activities? Tamalom Rebim Ne'a Aron. Avoda Mesurav Ne'a Aron. So it's an avoda that is handed over to the sons of Aaron. And Kol Kohen She'ena Modeh Ba Ein Lo Chelek B'Kuhuna. And the obvious assumption, of course, is that Aaron understood not only what he was doing, but why he was doing it as a mitzvah of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And so therefore, you have to be a Kohen in that model. And if you're not a Kohen in that model, so you can't do it. And so the question's already been asked. The Gemara doesn't even articulate the question. It's so obvious. In the list over here, we had Yitzika. Our Mishnah does not include Yitzika as needing to be done by a Kohen. So that's what's called a stira, seemingly. So Amar Rav Nachman Lokasha Kam B'Minchas Kohen and Kam B'Minchas Yisrael. So an attempted answer of the Gemara given by Rav Nachman is, well, maybe we can make the following distinction. You know, there's a mincha offered by Kohanim and a mincha offered by Yisrael, and there's a big difference between the two. Mincha by Yisrael, so that means to say that the mincha is given to the Kohen to do the avodah. The Kohen now is going to take a kemitza off, burn the comets on the top of the mizbeach, shirayim will be consumed by the Kohanim. A mincha offered by a Kohen, meaning to say that the Kohen is the owner of the mincha, so the whole thing is burnt on the mizbeach, kulo taktar. It's all burnt on the mizbeach. Kohanim don't need any of it. And so what the Gemara now is suggesting, Rav Nachman is suggesting, is that now is going to be the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Mincha is Yisrael debas kemitza hii mikemitza ve'elech mitzvah kohuna. Limed al yitziko v'lila shikshar bazar. You see, by Mincha is Yisrael, so there is kemitza. And as we're going to quote the pasuk in just a moment, kemitza we know has to be done by a Kohen. So now by Minchas Yisrael, so now we can make a line in the sand regarding a Minchas Yisrael. A demarcation point, which is that from Kemitza going forward, that has to be done by Kohen. Anything before that doesn't need a Kohen. By a Minchas Kohen, there is no Kemitza. Since there's no Kemitza by a Minchas Kohen, so now the entire Mincha has to be done by a Kohen. There's no demarcation. So the Gemara says, this is a suggested answer. Minchas Kohanim, the Gemara spells it out. Minchas Kohanim, the Lav Bas Kemitza, Himi Karabai Kahuna. So a Minchas Kohen, where there is no Kemitza, so the entire Mincha, including the Yitzika, including the Belila, has to be done by a Kohen. And but Minchas Yisrael, on the other hand, where there is Kemitza, doesn't, so only the Kemitza and onward has to be done by a Kohen. Anything prior, which includes the Yitzika and Belila, does not need to be done by a Kohen. So Amalei Rava Michti. So Rava says, I don't agree with the answer. Minchas Kohanim Mehechis Rabbi Yitzika Me Minchas Yisrael. How do I know altogether that Yitzika has to be done by Minchas Kohen? It's derived from a Minchas Yisrael. Rashi over here goes through the drasha. We will see the drasha later on in the Masechta Daf Ayin Hey. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but in other words, it's based on a drasha. So the entire basis of the avoda of a Minchas Kohen is all generated from a Minchas Yisrael. Therefore, Mahasam Ksher Bazar, Afachanam Ksher Bazar. So just like Yitzika is acceptable to be done by Minchas Yisrael, and the entire source of Minchas Kohen is from Minchas Yisrael, so therefore it can be done by non-Kohen. Okay. And so therefore what we have over here seemingly is a rejection of Rav Nachman's answer, which brings us back to the point that the Braisa doesn't go like our Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to spell that out in just a moment, but first the Gemara is going to give another version of basically the same discussion, with really seemingly no significant difference between now this new version. Igad Amrei. Am Rav Nachman lo kasha kam ben nikmatzos kam b'she'in nikmatzos. A distinction now being made between those menachos that require kemitza, i.e. Minchas Yisrael, versus those menachos that do not require kemitza, i.e. Minchas Kohen. So Amalei Rava Michti she'in nikmatzos me'echis rabbi li'itzikam nikmatzos. So, and Rava over here rejects this answer. Where do we know about the Minchas Kohen that there's a Yitzika requirement? We only know it from a Minchas Yisrael. And therefore, Ken Nikmatzos. Ma'asam Ksher Bazar, Afachanam Ksher Bazar. And just like by a Minchas Yisrael, Yitzika can be done by non Kohen, so to Minchas Kohen, Yitzika can be done by non Kohen. Okay, it really seems to be the same thing, just slightly different formulation. And so therefore now the Gemara concludes, good, we have to say that our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Shimon. So where do we stand right now? Vis-a-vis the Yitzika, the pouring of the oil in a Mincha. So our Mishnah teaches us that it does not need to be done by a Kohen. It can be done by a non-Kohen. The Braisa quoted by Rabbi Shimon here on Yud Ches Amud Beis is clearly of the opinion that this has to be done by a Kohen. A valid Kohen, meaning the whole point of the Mishnah is that the Kohen has to be not only Kahuna from a genetic standpoint, but Kahuna also hashkafically. It has to be a mamin. Okay, and so we have a machlokis, and so what is the basis of this machlokis? And that brings us to the next sugya of our Gemara. We are on the bottom of Yuches Amud Beis, and Maitaima de Rabbanan. So we start off with an understanding of the Chachamim. Chachamim over here means our Mishnah. Amar Kravi Yasakala Hashem Menasan Ala Levona Ve'evia El Bnei Haron HaKohen or HaKohanim Vikamatz. So you read the pasuk carefully as the Torah gives us instructions of a mincha, standard mincha, Perek Beis of Vayikra, and we pour in oil, and we're going to put on top of it the Lavona, and we're going to Ve'evia El Bnei Haron, and we're going to bring it to the Bnei Haron and HaKohanim and Vikamatz. So where in the process do we first introduce the Kohanim? Only by the act of Kemitza, which seemingly, simple reading of the Pasuk would seem to indicate that anything prior to that does not require a Kohen. And that's exactly how the Chachamim read the Pasuk. Mi Kemitza ve'elech mitzvahs kahuna, limed al yitziko belila shekshir bazar. So Kemitza going forward, that requires a Kohen. Anything prior to that does not require a Kohen. So the pouring of the oil, the mixing of the oil and the flour, does not have a requirement of kahuna. What's Rabbi Shimon going to say? Next point of the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon, b'nei Aaron ha-Kohanim, mikra nidrash lefanav al-acharav. When the Pasuk introduces Kohanim, same Pasuk, same format, when the Pasuk introduces Kohanim, it's shooting in two directions. Mm-hmm. It's shooting in the direction, and any instruction afterwards, and it's also shooting lefanav, in any direction beforehand as well. So that means to say that even though Kohanim is placed in the middle of the Pasuk, the drasha goes in both directions. And that means, of course, then, that there's a Kohen requirement, not only for the Kemitza, but also for all the prior activities as well, Yitzik and Belila. So the Gemara says, are we correct? Is Rabbi Shimon consistently hold like this position where the drasha goes lefanav ula acharav? And the Gemara now is going to test and, quite frankly, disprove this thesis. V'savar Rabbi Shimon mikra nidrash lefanav ula acharav atayin. The Gemara says, why don't we consider the following braisa? V'lakacha koin midama chatas be'etzba'o. And the Kohen is going to be taken from the blood of the chatas be'etzba'o. Over here, focus on the word be'etzba'o. V'nasan al karnos ha'mizbeach. And he's placing it on the karnos ha'mizbeach. So we have now here the standard application of the blood of a carbon chatas on the four corners of the mizbeach. Now, we already learned earlier in the Masechta, when you see the word be'etzba'o, it means it has to be done not only with the finger, but the finger of the right hand. So we for sure know that application of the blood on the karnos ha'mizbeach has to be done with the finger of the right hand. What about any of the working of the blood before that point in time? For example, Kabbalah Sadam. Does that have to be done with the right hand? So, let's listen to the Braisa. So, be'etzba'o v'lakach. Malamish lotei Kabbalah ala b'yamin. So, according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, which parenthetically is not Rabbi Shimon. So, according to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, so the word be'etzba'o is going on every part of the Pasuk. That which comes after and that which comes before. So, in terms of lakicha, which is Kabbalah Sadam, right hand. In terms of application, also right hand. I'm Rabbi Shimon v'chinemar yad b'kabbalah, and Rabbi Shimon says what? Doesn't say yad as it relates to Kabbalah, meaning the only introduction of yad, or in this case etzba, is only after the word Kabbalah, which means to say hovelo nemar yad b'kabbalah kibbal b'smol kasha. According to Rabbi Shimon, Kabbalah Sadam can be done with your left hand. Doesn't have to be done with the right hand because etzba only comes afterwards. And clearly over here, according to Rabbi Shimon, when you darshan, which direction do you go? Only la'acharav, not lefanav. And so clearly now in this braisa, we see that Rabbi Shimon does not darshan lefanav la'acharav. The Amar Abaye, and is as if we didn't need it to be spelled out, Abaye spells it out. B'mikra nidrash lefanav la'acharav kamiflagi. The entire machlokus between the Tanakam, the Chachamim, regarding the blood of a carbon chatas, in terms of whether or not there is a etzba right hand requirement for that which comes beforehand, is predicated on exactly this point as to whether or not we darshan before and after. Tanakama says we darshan before and after, and Rabbi Shimon says we only darshan after, not before. And so now we clearly see that according to Rabbi Shimon, we only go la'acharav, not lafanav. Now at this point in time, I'll just simply highlight that it's really interesting because really what we have now is two questions, meaning it's a stira between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Shimon. It's also a stira between the Chachamim and the Chachamim, because previously, according to the Chachamim, they darshaned only la'acharav, not lefanav. Okay, and for reasons which I don't know, but I'm just simply highlighting, it's certainly noteworthy, our Gemara is only going to be focusing on Rabbi Shimon now, not on the Chachamim. Skip the parentheses. Ela hachi time of the Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, so we obviously have to give a new approach in Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara does. We're in the same Pasuk, we're focusing on the same Pasuk, but we're going to be focusing on another word of the Pasuk. V'hevi'ah, and you will bring it. Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon. So now, let's go back to the Pasuk, let's read it. V'yatzak ala Hashemim v'nasan ala alavona v'hevi'ah el b'nei Aaron ha-kohanim v'kamatz. So the viheviyah, they have a vav, that's a conjunction, that's an and. And what that does now is that it stitches together the two parts of the pasuk. Just like I need a kohen for the kemitza, so too I need a kohen for the first parts of the pasuk as well, the yitzika and the belila. Good. That is Rabbi Shimon, it's all predicated on the vav. Now it's interesting, Rashi over here asks a wonderful question. Rashi says, okay, let's go back to the drasha we just quoted regarding the application of the blood of the carbon chatas. If you look at that pasuk, we'll read inside. Right top, it's on the top of the amud. V'lakacha kohen midama chatas be'etzba'o v'nasan al karnos ha'mizbeach. So when you have a vav, so it serves as a conjunction joining together the first and second half of the pasuk. So Rashi asks wonderfully over here, so if the vav is really stitching together the two parts of the pasuk, and just like there's a kohen requirement on the second half, so too there's a kohen requirement on the first half, so why doesn't Rabbi Shimon say the exact same thing regarding the blood of the carbon chatas? You have a vav there. It says vinasan. So see Rashi gives an answer. See, the Rashi Divrei Amaschal Vav Devia. So he gives an answer, but it's such a right, such a sharp question. It's really good. Okay, V'savar Rabbi Shimon. We're back to the Gemara. V'savar Rabbi Shimon Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon. Now, according to Rabbi Shimon, does that mean to say that that when you have a Vav as in the middle of a pasuk, now it is joining the second first half of the pesukim? Elamiata Dichsiv. So why don't we consider the following? One of the rules that we go over time and again throughout the Hilchos Avoda, throughout Karbanos, Zvachim, if you will, is that Shechita does not have to be done by Kohen, right? I think we all know that. We've said it enough times. So it's, you know, it's a pretty heavy mantra by us, right? Shechita kosher bizarre, right? A non-Kohen could do Shechita. We know that already. But based on what we just learned, we're going to actually question that principle. V'shachar is ben abakar. So here we have a pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra instructing now how to bring a carbon ola, and the Torah says v'shacharis ben abakar v'hi krivo b'nei Aaron kohanim es adam v'zarku es adam mikabal ve'elach mitzvahs kahuna melamed al shechita shekasher bazar. So here we have the braisa that we've seen time and again, that the only time that I need a participation of a kohen is only v'hi krivo, which we know means kabal es adam. From Kabbalah Saddam and onward, that's the only time where I need Kohen involvement. Anything before that, meaning Shechita, can be done by non-Kohen. Good. Now, what rule do we just learn together? That the Vav is Mosif. Look at the Pasuk again. V'shachal es ben abakar, v'hikrivo b'nei Aaron. Doesn't say hikrivo b'nei Aaron, it says viv, with the Vav. That's a Hosafa. So that means to say that according to Rabbi Shimon, it should be going on that which comes after and that which comes before. Which now means that according to Rabbi Shimon, Shechita has to be done by a Kohen. But it's an untenable position. And so what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to somehow explain how does Rabbi Shimon not arrive at that conclusion. So Eila Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara is going to spell out the question. Eila Rabbi Shimon Vav Mosif Alinyan Rishon, Shechita Hachinami Bezar Tei Psula. So we should have now, according to Rabbi Shimon, this idea that a Vav is being Mosif, and therefore we need a Kohen for Shechita, and it cannot be done by a non-Kohen. Okay. So it's really a fantastic question. The Gemara is going to attempt to answer. Shani Haslam Damakrav v'samach v'shachat. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you look earlier in the Psukim, there actually are two verbs that are not actually side by side, but the phrases are side by side. One is the requirement of smicha by the owner of the Kohen. Sorry. By the owner. I misspoke. By the owner of the carbon. And the next is shechita. So now, masmicha bezarim av shechita bezarim. So just like smicha does not require a kohen, so too shechita does not require a kohen. So basically, what we have over here now, in defense of Rabbi Shimon, or an explanation of Rabbi Shimon, is basically we have evidence that leads us into a different direction. Meaning basically we have confounding pieces of evidence. On one hand, the Vav is there to tell us that I need a kohen to shecht, to do the act of shechita. On the other hand, we also have evidence indicating otherwise. V'samach v'shachat, just like smicha doesn't require a kohen, so tushchit doesn't require a kohen. The Gemara says, okay, but let's go down this path. Who does smicha? Not just anybody, the owner of the carbon. So if we're going to go down this path, so we're going to arrive at a very strange conclusion. Ima smicha bebalim, avshchita bebalim. Well, if smicha is done by the owner, so that means that shchita also has to be done by the owner? That's a question. Meaning we never find that you necessarily need the owner to do shechita. So the Gemara says, "Ha'olam matzis amart." So the Gemara says, that's a position which we're never going to conclude with because kavachomer. Because we have logic that would indicate that you don't need the owner of the carbon to do the shechita. Why? Umazrika deikar kapar lo bai balam shechita de lavikar kapar lo kol shekein. Well, consider. Zrika, where that is the pinnacle of kapara, that is what achieves kapara for its owner, and I don't need the owner. So shechita, you're really now going to make the argument that I need the owner to do shechita? If he doesn't need to be involved in the zrika, he doesn't need to be involved in the shechita as well. Now that is a funny kavachomer. That's a funny kavachomer. What do you mean I don't need the owner for zrika? I can't have the owner being doing zrika. I need a kohen. V'chi tema, and the Gemara says, I know that's coming next. How can you make such a kavachomer on something which is impossible to something which is possible? So Gali Rechmanu b'Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara says, okay, we're going to take a different patch, a different approach. V'shachar es parachatas asher lo. We do find one place in all of Torah where I have the owner of the animal doing the shechita. Right? It's actually unbelievable trivia. Meaning if we were outside of the context of the Gemara, and you sat there and you asked somebody, where do we find that the owner of a karban has to do the shechita of his karban? It's a real brain teaser. The answer is Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur, so there are two karbanos that are brought into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and one of them is the par. And the par is not a karban sibur. It's not a public karban. It's his personal karban. So it is the only place, B'chol HaTorah Kula, where we have the owner of the karban actually required to do shechita on the karban. And what the Gemara now is going to derive from here is the following. Michlal, d'shechita ba'ama lo b'inam ba'alim. So that means to say that this is the exception to the rule, and that means to say that the default position is that I don't need a owner of the karban to do shechita on the karban. Okay, so truth of the matter is that we could pause over here and so many points that are, you know, that need fine-tuning, which I'm not going to fine-tune right now. That's part of the problem with the daf is that it's cursory in nature. But there's so many things over here that need fine-tuning. First of all, maybe this could be a binyanav, meaning it could just simply be a precedent. Why do we know that this is the exception, not the rule? Right? And especially considering the fact that it's only the only time. So, and generally speaking, we say that if something's mentioned in the Torah once, it serves as a precedent, not as an exception. And on top of that, what does the Gemara do in terms of the Kal V'Chomer? The Gemara rejecting the Kal V'Chomer? Is the Kal V'Chomer working in conjunction with this point of the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur? Okay, so there's a lot to unpackage over here, but the point of the Gemara is, however, that even according to Rabbi Shimon, and even though he subscribes to this idea that the Vav is a Hosafa, and that the Vav takes a pasuk and stitches it together, so that just like there's a Kohen requirement in one part, and there's another, so too there's a Kohen requirement in another part, but even as it relates to Shechita, still Rabbi Shimon will still, and there's a Vav in Shechita, in that pasuk, still Rabbi Shimon would conclude that a Kohen does not need to do Shechita. Okay. Next part of the daf. Many times throughout the avoda, we talk about those avodas which are essential and those avodas that are not essential. The reason why the Gemara is picking up this topic over here is because we just learned the Mishnah in yesterday's daf that gave us a pretty lengthy list by Menachos. Admittedly, it's only by Menachos, but still a pretty lengthy list of things which are non-essential. And how do we know where to draw the line between which avodas are mitzvos important but not essential versus those which are deal breakers? Those avodas where if you do not do that particular avoda, so then the carbon is not a considered offered. So how do we know? What's the tell of the Torah? So here is the Gemara's discussion. Amarav, komakum shenemar Torah v'chuk eino elalakev. The way Rav first presents the halacha is that there are two coded words in the Torah where if you see them, you now know that this is an avoda hame'akeves. It is an essential avoda, and failure to perform them means that you have not done the mitzvah. And so what you're looking for in any particular avoda is both the word Torah v'chuka. At this point, the Gemara is telegraphing the punch, sakadacha tarte bayi kedichsiv zos chukas ha-Torah. So in other words, what we right now think is that you need both, Torah and chuka. You need both of those words in order to tip off that this is an essential avoda. And what the Gemara now is going to do is test this particular approach with seven different avodas that are coming up. Okay, and if you would like to commit them to memory, so the Gemara gives a mnemonic in terms of how to commit the next seven questions of the Gemara to memory. And here we begin with number one, Vahare, Nazir. The Loksiv Be Ela Torah. Now, by the Parsha of Nazir, so there's no reference to the word Torah. It just simply says the word Chukah, right? The other way around. Deloksiv be ela Torah. Sorry. By Nazir, it only says Torah, doesn't say the word chukah. Rashi over here quotes the pasuk. Rashi is above where we are in the Gemara. Nazir ksiv be zos Torah Nazir asher yidur. So the beginning of Parshas Nazir begins with the word Torah, but does not have the word chukah. The Amar Rav. Tenufa ben Nazir ma'akva. And Rav teaches us, and by the way, it's the same Rav who gave us the rules. Rav teaches us that the waving aspect of the Nazir, so that's essential. So what waving aspect are we talking about? Rashi, Benasan al kape hanazir, that we put on the hands of the nazir. So certain parts of the karban, certain parts of the shlamim, are placed in the hands of the nazir, and a waving performance is done. And what the Gemara is now teaching us is that this is essential. Why? In other words, we don't have the words Torah and Chukah. So Shani Hasam Kevin Dichsiv Be Kain Yaaseh. Kaman Dichsiv Bu Chukah Dami. So right now the Gemara is going to try a couple of approaches. The Gemara says, well, there are fair replacement words or replacement phrases where even though I don't have the formal words of Torah and Chukah, but if I have other words which indicate that they're essential, so they could serve as a replacement. For example, over here, the Torah says by the Nazir, Kain Yaaseh. This is how it's done. Sounds reasonable that this serves as a replacement towards chukah. Second question: Hare Toda, Deloksiv Be'ela Torah. In the parsha of the carbon Toda, it only has the word Torah, does not have the word chukah. Vitzanan, Arba Shebetoda Ma'akven Ze Etzeh. That there needs to be 40 loaves accompanying the carbon Toda of four categories of menachos. One category is chametz. And the other three are different types of matzos. You need to make all four. If you don't make all four types, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah of the karban todah. Ma'akvin zeh etzeh. Shani todah di'itzkesh l'nazir. Dichsiv al zevach todah shlamav. V'amamar shlamav l'rabba shlami nazir. So there is a hekesh between the todah and the nazir. And just like we learned by nazir it's essential, so too by karban todah as well. So in other words, this is going to be a rule breaker. It's not a rule breaker, but it's generated, the halacha is generated through a different avenue, i.e. Hekesh. Number three, Hare Mitzora. We're now talking about the Taharas HaMitzora, where Deloksiv Be'ela Torah, and in Mitzora, it does not have the word Chukah, it only has the word Torah. And meanwhile, Arba Minash Mitzora Ma'akvin Zedzeh. On the first day of the Taharas HaMitzora, you have four things that you need, eights. Erez, Shni Tolas, and Ezov. And, I'm sorry, Shni Tolas, Ezov, and Siparim. Let me do that again, and let me do it correctly. Eitz Erez, Shni Tolas, Ezov, and Siparim. Okay, cedar wood. Wool. Hyssop. I don't know what these things are. But, in other words, but yeah, Ezov, you know, long stemmy branches. Anyway, and Siparim and a pair of birds. And all four of these are essential. You're missing any one of the four, and you do not have day one Taharas HaMitzora. So, and we don't have the word chukah over there, so what's going on? Shani Hasim, Kevin Dechsiv, Zos Tiyat Taharas HaMitzora, Keman Dechsiv Be Chukah Dami. And so once again over here, the Gemara is going to give an approach of, we have a replacement word. Which word is going to be able to replace chukas? Zos Tiyat Taharas HaMitzora. This is it. Which, again, gives us an indication that you must have these in order to get through day one of Taharas HaMitzora. Number four, Vare Yom Kippur Mdoloksiv Be'ela Chukah. Now, by Yom Kippur, it goes the other way. We don't have the word Torah, but we do have the word Chukah by Yom Kippur. And meanwhile, the Pasuk says, V'haysa Lachem L'chukas Olam V'chodesh HaShvi'i. And meanwhile, V'tanan, Shnei Sirei Yom Kippur Ma'akvin Zeh Zeh. And Yom Kippur doesn't work if you don't have two goats. You need two goats on Yom Kippur. Ela, so the Gemara says, okay. So what we're going to have to do now is we're going to go back and we're going to revisit the original statement to Rav, and we're going to tweak it just a little bit. Ella, O Torah, O Chukah. So the Gemara says he didn't mean both. And we knew that from the very beginning because the Gemara telegraphed the punch. The Gemara said, Salka dat chamina. We thought you need both, but now, to clarify, we don't need both. So you either need Torah or you have Chukah, and now we know that it's essential. So the Gemara says, Varei sharka banas tichsibu Torah v'lo ma'akva. The Gemara says, okay. But you're going to see the word Torah come up again and again on those activities which we know are not ma'akev. And so the Gemara says, the Rashi here gives an example. Amar perakama ba'asham hu atzma shlo hukta reimurav kasher of amincha ksiv v'zos Torah samincha ha'krev dehainu hagasha v'tanan lo higish kasher. Like in other words, the activity of hagasha by amincha. I'm choosing one of the examples in Rashi. The activity of Hagasha by Mincha. The Torah uses the word Torah over there, and it's not essential. So the word Torah by itself clearly does not seem to indicate that it's essential. So the Gemara says, Torah by Chukah v'chukah lo by Torah. So the Gemara says, okay. So really, the key word is Chukah. If you see the word Torah by itself, non-essential. If you see Torah in conjunction with the word Chukah, it's essential. But the opposite's not true. Meaning if you have the word chok, you don't need the word Torah. Which of course only begs the question, then why even bring up Torah at all? Meaning it's really all predicated on the word chok. Okay. V'ha Torah v'chuka ka'amar hachi kamar af agav diksiv Torah iksiv chuka in v'lo lo. Now the Gemara says, now what about the way Rav originally presented a statement? Sounded like he needed both. And the Gemara just simply rereads Rav's original statement. Even if you have Torah, you need chuka. Okay, in other words, it's really predicated on chok. Okay, so now we're up to number six. Fine. And by the way, now with our new understanding, we can go back and we can revisit the previous five, and we'll plug it in and we'll see that really it's all a function of chok. And therefore, you didn't need the replacement words like we gave earlier. Okay. V'harei mincha dechziv bechuka v'amir rav komakum sheyechzir akasa b'torah mincha eino ala la'akev. So the Gemara says, okay, but by the mincha, you have the word chok. And meanwhile, Rav makes another statement, and that is by a karban mincha, if the Torah repeats instructions, that is li'ikuva. That tells us it's essential. And if it doesn't repeat instructions, so it's not li'ikuva. And what the Gemara is basically saying is, but wait one second. It says the word chok. That should be enough in order to indicate that it's essential. And I don't need repetition. And the Gemara is obviously bothered. So hechzer in lo hechzer lo shani hasam dechiksiva choka aachilaksiva. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to the mincha, it does say the word chok. But if you look contextually over there, you will see that it's actually the word chok is going only on the consumption of the mincha, right? The kol zachar, I'm reading the pasuk. Rashi quotes it: kol zachar bibnei Aaron yeachel chok alam. So the chok is going specifically on the achila and not on other activities of the mincha. Therefore, for other activities of the mincha, so what's the tell that something's essential versus non? And the answer is repetition. If it's repeated, it's essential. Not repeated, not essential. V'harei lechem upon him. Here we are, number seven. V'harei lechem upon him. Dechik siva chuka aachila ksiva. So we can say the same thing by the lechem upon him. Yes, it does say the word chok, but the word chok over there contextually is going on the consumption of the lechem upon him. Utanan. And meanwhile, we have the following mishnah. Shnei sedarim ma'akvin ze'ezeh. That there are two columns of the lechem aponim that are placed on the shulchan, and the two are essential. If I put one column on, not good. Shnei bezichim akmin zezeh, same thing with the two spoonfuls of lavona. One is not good. You need two, and that's essential. Hasadar va bezichim akmin zezeh. And also, not only do I need the pair of columns and the pair of spoons, but I also need the pair of columns and the pair of spoons. That all of them are essential. So ela kohecha dechsivah. So the Gemara says, okay. And again, the question over here is that, yes, there's a word chok by the lechem aponim, but that's only going on the achila. And so how do I know that all these other details in the lechem aponim are essential? Ela, kolhecha dikhsiv achila, akula milsa ksiva. So the Gemara says, even when the word chok is going on the consumption, on the eating, we can assume that it's not only going on the consumption, it's going on every aspect. And therefore, by the lechem aponim, every aspect of it is essential. And now we have to go back to the mincha. However, by the mincha, I know mincha is exceptional. It's the exception to the rule. Why? Because the Torah says by the mincha, migirsa umishamna. That's the flour and that's the oil. And that means to say, right, look at the bottom Rashi on your testament. Alf gabi mincha la'achilo ha'vichuka dida, ikuva mishum dechsiv, migirsa umishamna, midamati lamechta migirsh umishemen. The Torah could have gotten away with saying the words gerush and shemen, flour and oil, viksi migirsa umishamna, shmamina hachi kamar, girsha shalem, ushmana shalem, shim chaser kol shehu pasal. That the Torah says that I need a full amount of flour and a full amount of oil. Why does the Torah have to give us extra letters to give us these rules? Can't we just simply say that, look, it's in the Parsha of Mincha, we have the word chok, it's essential, and so why is the Torah now giving us these extra letters to reflect that this is really important? So it must be that by a mincha, the default position is that it's not essential, and this indicates that the Torah will tell us when something's essential. And on the top of the Amud Yutes, Amud Beis, the Gemara just simply highlights this point. Gerish v'shem and ma'akvin ve'ein davar achim ma'akvin. The amount of flour, the amount of oil, that's ma'akev, but other aspects of the mincha are not ma'akev. Okay, gufa. And so, let's go back to the statement of Rav. Kol makom she'echzir l'cha akasa b'toras mincha, Eino ela la'akev. How do I know that something's essential by a mincha? So according to Rav, the answer is repetition. If the Torah repeats a instruction regarding a mincha, I know it's essential. Shmuel amar, gerush v'shemen ma'akev mein davar acher ma'akev. Shmuel says, no. In other words, the gerush and shemen are ma'akev, nothing else is ma'akev. Well, Shmuel, alfa gav detana be'kra lo ma'akev lei. And that means to say that according to Shmuel, repetition is not significant. Gemara says, but that doesn't seem to be true. Ela kol hecha detana be'kra vade ma'akva. So the Gemara says that, no, of course, if the Torah is repeating, repetition is essential. Shmuel agrees to that. V'hacha. So then, what if, not if, there is some debate between Rav and Shmuel, what is the debate between Rav and Shmuel? V'hacha b'melokumso b'kumso kamiflagei. What is that? The core debate between Rav and Shmuel over here is how to understand the Torah's instructions regarding the kumitsa. The Torah gives two descriptions of the kumitsa. One is kumso, and the other one is melokumso. Ditanya, melokumso b'kumso. So the Bryce over here notes the idea that the Torah gives a melokumso and bikumso. Shalo yase midal kametz. The Braisa gives a very succinct instruction as it relates to the kametza. There is no measuring cup for the kametza, which parenthetically, by the way, makes perfect sense. Meaning, what is the kametza? It's a fistful. There is a shear, it just happens to be subjective. It's a fistful, and it depends on who the kohen is. So there cannot be a standard measurement of kametza, and you can't make a measuring cup for the kametza. Now Rav Savar Hanami Tana Beikra Dichsiv. Now Rav is of the opinion. Now this idea that you cannot make a measuring cup for the kametz, so it's based on repetition. So the fact that the Torah says that he's going to fill his hand with it, so this, according to Rav, is now serving as a repetition for the kametz. And this is what it teaches us, in that you cannot make a measuring cup. Shmuel Doris Mishal Lo Yafin. And as far as Shmuel is concerned, no. Meaning, that's true, but that is regarding the Miluim. That is part of the inauguration of the Mishkan. That was a one-time event occurrence. You can't learn from that. And so therefore, Doris Mishal Lo Yafin. So even though it's true, but that can't serve as a repetition, is that wasn't for instructions for Doris, that was only instructions for that time. The Gemara says, really? V'lo yal Shmuel Doris Mishal V'atzanan. So the Gemara says, really? Shmuel's not going to learn any halachas from events in the Torah that were a one-time occurrence. Consider. A point that we made towards the end of Zvachim is that we have various measuring cups, dry measuring cups and liquid measuring cups. And the dry measuring cups are good for imparting Kedushas Aguf into flour, and liquid measuring cups are good for imparting Kedushas Aguf into oil. But in other words, but you don't, they can't cross. Midas yavish mikachin es yavish ve'ein kli halach mikachin es yavish v'lo midas yavish mikachin es halach. So if I took a measuring cup designed for dry and put in oil, it's not going to give it kedushas aguf. So fine, that's a mishnah in Zvachim ve'amr Shmuel loshna elamidos. That's only the measuring cups of mizrakos. But when we're dealing with the large bowls, mikachin. There, the large bowls are going to be able to cross over and imbue Kedusha both into dry and in liquid. How do I know that? Because Dichsiv Shnei Maleim Soles. Because in the gifts that were given by the Nisim, which obviously was a one-time occurrence, so the gifts that were given over by the Nisim, so they had bowls that were filled with Soles. Teaching us that when we're dealing with the bowls, the large mixing bowls, so they can impart Kedusha both into dry and to liquid. What did Shmuel just do? He taught us a halacha based on a one-time event. So the Gemara says, Shani Asim Detana Beikra, Tresar Zimnin. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that's different because it's repeated 12 times. 12 Nisim, 12 repetition, and therefore it's repeated 12 times. Albeit...
So what?
Right, and I'll right. Tosus more or less asks your question. Right, Tosus formulates the question a little bit differently. Not only so, what we know that once the Torah goes over something again and again and again, so that no longer serves as the rule, that serves as the exception. Right, shnei ksuvim mabayim ka'echad eim alamdim. Gimel ksuvim mabayim ka'echad for sure eim alamdim. Over here, 12 psukim mabayim ka'echad. Anyway, Tosus asked a question. Tosus gives an answer. Okay, we're going to pause over here. Let's recap. Okay, today we went over the idea that our Mishnah that talks about Yitzika, the pouring of the oil onto a mincha, is an avoda that does not need to be done by a Kohen. So, and Rabbi Shimon clearly does not agree with that. The Gemara tried to make shalom between Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah, but the Gemara says no. And the first part of today's daf dealt with the sources of the halachas. Chachamim say that Yitzika does not need to be done by Kohen. Rabbi Shimon says it does. What is it predicated on? The Gemara entertained a couple of approaches. Maybe it's predicated on whether we darshan both that which comes before versus that which comes after. The Gemara says maybe it's based on the predicate on the fact that there's vav is mosif al inyan rishon. So a couple suggestions of the Gemara. A big discussion in today's daf vis-a-vis how do I know an avod is essential? And so Rav gives us the rule that if you find the words Torah v'chukah, so I know it's essential. And what we did over the course of today's daf, starting in the middle of Yud Tesamen Aleph and concluding on the top of Yud Tesamen Beis, is that we fine-tuned that rule of Rav. It didn't exactly mean you need both Torah and chukah. And we noted that by the mincha, however, even though we have the word chok by mincha, we know that every activity by mincha is not essential. In fact, a lot of the activities by mincha is not essential. Geres v'shemen is essential, other activities are not. And the rest of the daf today is, can we learn out halachas from one-time events that occurred in the Torah? Seemingly the answer is no, but the Gemara acknowledges that under certain occasions the answer would be yes.